We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's date is March 13th, episode 37. In today's podcast, it's a college basketball delight. We'll go through six leagues, the ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Big East, SEC, and Pac-12, and I'll give you who I picked to win each, with some of them I give you a sleeper. From there, we round off with a team that's firmly on the bubble, Villanova. I will give you my all-time team. And let's get started on today's podcast with the ACC, a league that, you know, some people think is down, but we have some teams, or a team that's playing relatively well if we bring in the board here. Right now, UNC is the odds-on favorite to win at plus 180, tied with Duke. Virginia at 16-1, right behind Pitt, 15-1. You know, so these are kind of where they're seeding as opposed to odds. Wake Forest, 7 plus 750, 9.5-1 for Clemson, 50-1 for Syracuse. So when you look at this, I like UNC, a UNC Tar Heel team that beat Duke twice during the regular season, led by Armando Bacock at the center position and RJ Davis at the guard spot. Now, when you look at them, it's more than just Davis and Bacock. You have to really look at the play of two, what I would call nails and glue guys, Harrison Ingram, who has shown his ability as a stretch four to kind of create mismatch opportunities, but also the play of Cormac Ryan, who has done a really nice job, really had a huge game in their win at Duke over the weekend, which obviously we talked about on last podcast. So to me, my favorite is North Carolina, but you can't mistake and leave out a team like the Duke Blue Devils. They finished second in the league. A Duke Blue Devil team, to me, it's going to come down to, we know that Filipowski is going to show up, but to me, it's going to be more about the play of the guards, particularly Jared Roach, who at times has played well and not played well, but also their X factor could be Jared McCann, the freshman out of Sacramento, who is getting them 13.6 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and had some really good games, including 19 points in that loss to UNC. Now, if you're going to ask me about a sleeper, a dark horse, if you will, to me, it's the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. A Wake Forest Demon Deacons team who does have a win versus Duke already this year. A Demon Deacons team that is very balanced in scoring, with they have about six guys or so that I think can get you double figures night in, night out. And the job that Steve Forbes has done is, since coming from East Tennessee State, really one of the more underrated coaches in the country. I do think you're looking at a situation where this team, Wake Forest, could make a run. While we're making a run here, looks like we're a little bit ahead. So I'm going to jump right now and start talking about the Big Ten. The Big Ten, in regards to a league in which the number one seed is the Purdue Boilermakers at even money, followed by the number two seed at Illinois at plus 310, Nebraska, the three seed at 9-1, Northwestern, the four seed at 17-1, Wisconsin, the five seed, really struggled down the stretch, but they're 12-1, Indiana, number six seed at 40-1, and then Iowa at 36-1, I should say. So when you look at this league, you got to talk about the Purdue Boilermakers. Obviously, the play of Zach Edey, who will be the Naismith Player of the Year. Again, we've talked about it. His play has been absolutely outstanding this year. But to me, when you start looking about the Big Ten, folks, it's got to be about some of the other players in regards to Purdue that need to step up if we think that they're going to make a big run. So when you start looking at them, you really have to look at the guard play, particularly their ability to knock the ball down from three, because if I'm a coach, my job is I'm going to take away the number one option, which is Zach Edey. And this was the kind of the Achilles heel last year for a Purdue team that got knocked out by FDU. Now, in the NCAA tournament. So to me, that really leads to Braden Smith. Braden Smith, who is scoring 13 points per game, 7.2 assists, really elevated himself to really, folks, being one of the top point guards in the Big Ten. And Braden Smith has had a really, really good year, if you really were to think about it. His scoring up to 13 points per game. His three-point shooting percentage up to 45%. You know, his field goal shooting percentage up to 46%. So a guy like Braden Smith is going to play a pivotal role for a Purdue team if they're going to make a run. But I also would think also the play of Jones, Lawyer, and Gillis. Their ability to shoot the ball from three. Think about this, folks. Smith shoots at 45%. Jones shoots it at 36. Lawyer at 43. And Gillis at 49%. They have to make threes because if I'm a team, I'm going to collapse down inside. So if I'm looking at a team that could take out Purdue, it's kind of chalky, but I'm going to stick with it. And that's Illinois. An Illinois team that's explosive firepower-wise, led by this guy here, Terrence Shannon Jr., you know, who I kind of went through some stuff, you know, during the early part of the regular season. I'm not going to kind of get into it, but it's really turned out to be one of the best players in the country, getting you at about 21.6 points per game. And then you got to go to Marcus Damask, getting you at about, you know, 16 points per game. Marcus is someone that has the ability hasn't shot the ball the way he's wanted to, but from three particularly, but is someone that can get to the bucket and score. And then you got to look at, to me, really their X factor is Coleman Hawkins, getting about 13 points per game. Now, his three-point shooting has got significantly better since last year, shooting at about 39.2%. So I think you look at a guy like Hawkins that can kind of help you kind of get going here. So for me, Purdue, and then the sleeper, if you want to take him at a little over 3-1, the Illinois Fighting Illini to make a big run and possibly win the Big Ten. Let's move on to the Big 12, where the number one seed is the Houston Cougars at minus money at minus 105 of this morning. Iowa State at plus 490. Baylor, the number three seed, 6-1. Texas Tech as the four seed, 18-1. BYU at 10-1 as the five seed, along with Kansas as the six. Texas at 24-1. And to me, when you look at it, this is kind of chalky again here, initially. For me, Houston is the best team in the league. People talked about the fact that they hadn't played anybody when they played in the American. Well, they just went to the Big 12, and they came in first place. And this is a team that is dominated by their guard play. Three-guard lineup that's as good as any three-guard lineup in the country. When you're talking about the veteran right there, Jamal Shedd, who's done a fantastic job and been a Houston Cougar, seems like, for about 50 years. Then you got to look at Emmanuel Sharpe here, right there, number 21, who has done an amazing job of elevating his game, Emmanuel Sharpe, getting you at 12.3 points per game this year after averaging only 5.9. But then you got to look at L.J. Cryer, the transfer out of Baylor, who gives them as their top scorer a lethal shooter. I've seen L.J. Cryer particularly have late play really well, scoring over 20 points in three of his last four games, including that fantastic 23-point performance in a two-point win at Oklahoma, where it seemed like L.J. made big shot the big shot. But real quickly, folks, when you talk about them, it's not just the guards. You got to make sure you talk about the two bigs, right? That's Juwan Roberts, getting at 9.9 points per game, 7 rebounds per game. This is your junkyard dog, okay, folks? This is the guy that kind of does a little bit of everything for them. Scoring around the basket, athletic, defender, rough, rugged. So him and I think Francis, who tends to get himself into foul trouble, could be the keys here. Now, the problem with those two is they shoot the ball terribly from the foul line. And that's a concern to me as a coach when my two bigs are shooting 55 and 53%. It may be hack-a-shack time, if you know what I'm saying. But their defense is something to behold and is something that can make them dangerous. Also, don't sleep on the transfer Dunn from Temple. Gives them a little bit of an option of a six-man, getting you about 6.2 points per game. If there is an Achilles heel for Houston, it is depth, particularly in the front court, if Francis and or Roberts were to get themselves into foul trouble. So when you look at the Big 12, what I think is by far the best conference in the country, you got to start looking at a couple of teams that I guess you would call them sleepers, as you will. And I guess you can't call a team a sleeper. Well, this one you can, because they're only 9-9 in league. And that's the Texas TCU Horned Frogs. Now, you're asking me, Coach, you're taking a key team that's seventh in league, and you're saying they have a chance to win it. Folks, I absolutely feel like they can. Why? Now, they stumbled down the stretch, right? But if you think about it during the year, right, they did beat Baylor at Baylor. They did beat Texas Tech. You know, they had a one-point loss to Iowa State. You know, they lost by two to Kansas. They beat Houston early on in the Big 12 season. And Jamie Dixon, who I think is one of the best coaches in the country, really has a great player in Emmanuel Miller, getting you 16 points per game, 5.8 rebounds, I should say. An Emmanuel Miller that continues to get better year in, year out. Fifth-year guy, right? So I like fifth-year guys. I like experience as coaches. And Emmanuel Miller brings that for a team like TCU. Then you got to look at Jameer Nelson Jr. Does the name sound familiar? Yes, that's Jameer Nelson Sr.'s son. And Jameer Nelson Jr. has done a great job as a senior this year, getting at about 13 points per game. Now, he's a transfer, so don't look at his stats from way before he got there, but he's done a really nice job solidifying the point guard spot. So TCU, that is my big sleeper. A team not so much a sleeper is Iowa State. Folks, I call them Houston Light, meaning that they depend on slowing the game down, making it a half-court game, and just locking your you-know-what up defensively. So I think Iowa State is a team with roster balance. If you look at a team like Iowa State, you know, they have six guys that average 8 points per game or more, led by, obviously, Keyshawn Gilbert, getting you about 13.5 points per game. Someone that's up is scoring average from 11.4 points per game. You got to look at a guy like Lipsy, right? Lipsy is getting you as a point guard at about 12.5 points per game. You keep going here. They got a lot of guys, you know? And to me, the big guy, and I can't even say his last name, the 6'8 freshman, Milan, is getting you about 11 points a game. And I think is someone that kind of creates a little bit of a matchup nightmare at 6'8 because of his ability to stretch it out, even though he shoots only 36% from three. He becomes a matchup problem. He's actually a sneaky shot creator. And TCU's done such a great job at Iowa State that I really think that they, along at TCU, can give Houston a legitimate run for their money. But don't sleep on this, folks. There's a lot of teams that can make a run here in the Big 12. Let's move on to the Big East, where the number one team in the country, they may not be the overall number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Right now, going into a lot of brackets, they said it's Purdue. But the best team in the country is the UConn Huskies at minus 150 to win the Big East, followed by Marquette, the number two seed at 6-1. We'll talk about them in a second. Plus 390 for Creighton. Seton Hall at plus 4,000, the number four seed, a little disrespected in my book. St. John's 13-1. Nova 20-1. 70-1 for Providence. So when you kind of look at this a little bit, I think one thing you have to say about UConn is they could be better than last year. Right, when you look at the transfer of Cam Spencer, the sharpshooter from Rutgers, who's given them so much length in regards to lengthening the floor. When you talk about the fact they lost a player like an Andre Dawkins last year, you have to talk about Tristan Newton at the point guard spot that has elevated his game and has gone to his time a go-to scorer. You got to talk about Alex Caravan as a stretch four, whose game kind of ascended in that second half of last year, and as a stretch four, makes it difficult when you try to double down on this guy. Donovan Clingan, 7'2", monster, under-recruited, coming out of high school. This big man has really been a big force as they played better the second half of the year as he got healthy. Remember, folks, he was not healthy coming to the start of the year. And with Dan Hurley, done a great job with the team. One guy I want you to also highlight is Stephen Castle, the freshman, five-star prospect. Some people have him as a top 15 NBA draft player. Fantastic freshman. This team is the best team in the Big East. So if I'm talking about how good they are, who can I look at? Folks, I cannot tell you I'm big on Marquette. Why? Tyler Cole has already announced he's not playing tomorrow night versus the winner of DePaul and Villanova. I'll tell you why, who I think is going to win that game, obviously. But to me, I think that there is not a lot that I think I can say right now with Marquette unless they get Kolick healthy. So to me, let's move on to a couple other teams I think can make a run. How about Creighton? Folks, they are can make a legitimate Final Four run, okay? They got senior experience, right? They got Baylor Shireman, first team, all Big East, lefty, scoring, shooter, does a fantastic job of stretching the floor, Baylor Shireman. You got to look at Alexander, who has really blossomed himself. He's going to be a fantastic pro, very, very athletic, bouncy, good off the creation, but also can knock down from three. And then there's the big man, Ryan Kalkbrenner. When Ryan Kalkbrenner is a threat, they are a problem. At 7 feet tall, he can pose a problem for Donovan Clingan. And then Ashworth, I love this kid. It's a spunky little guard. And you saw that game that he had against UConn when he was absolutely fantastic. So because of that, and because this man, Greg McDermott, who just signed an extension with Creighton, I think this team can make a serious run and win the Big East tournament champion. Greg is talking to my good friend Brian O'Connell here, a good friend of mine, a referee. But if there's a sleeper, folks, it's Villanova. Folks, y'all know it. Maybe it's my fandom of Villanova. But I'm going to tell you something. They could win it. They can legitimately win it. Folks, they were a top 10 team, top 15 team preseason. They have underachieved all year. I get it. But when you look at them, it's the big man, Eric Dixon, the lefty, who can really do a lot of things creatively in regards to off the bounce as a big, but step out and shoot the three. It's the fact that Justin Moore is starting to get healthy. Justin Moore, who tore his Achilles 2 years ago in the Elite Eight versus Houston, is starting to play like the Justin Moore we thought we were going to see out of Justin Moore as he struggled early on in the year. But to me, it's about heart. It's about Bamba. It's about Tyler Burton. It's about the transfers. And here's the thing, folks. Here's why I'm going to think they make a run. They need to win two games to make the NCAA tournament. I was talking to a friend of mine, a bracketology guy, and Brad Watchell, who will be on Betting Above the Rim this weekend with Scotty Farrell and I on Saturday. And Brad said they need to win two games. They're going to beat DePaul. And then they got to go beat Marquette, most likely without Tyler Kolick. If they wouldn't beat those two, remember, folks, they did. They absolutely did beat Creighton on the road, and they also had that tough game over the weekend when they had a terrible start. Villanova, value play to win the Big East. Let's move on to the SEC. I'm not going chalk here with the topic being Tennessee at plus 180. I'm not going with the number two team right now at Alabama at 5-1. I'm looking at 3-4. And let's start off with the Kentucky Wildcats at 4-1. Why, folks? They got guards. They got a plethora of guards, and they can hit you in so many different ways. And to me, when I think about a team that makes a run, it's a team that's got fantastic guard play. Now, you can worry about Kentucky's maturity. I get it. Are you making a good point about it? Absolutely. They're young. They're inexperienced. They're going to make a ton of mistakes. Sometimes you can worry about their defensive tenacity. But boy, they got shot creators and they got shot makers. When you think about Reeves and Dillingham and Shepard and Mitchell and Wagner and Edwards, all of them giving you 9 points per game or more. What does that tell you, folks? When you have six guards, if you're Cal, you can basically mix and match until you find the two or three guards that are really bringing it. Folks, Kentucky, I think, is going to win the SEC, and I really do think they are primed for a huge, huge month of March. But if I had to give you a second team, I can't call them a sleeper because they have better odds than Kentucky. I like Auburn. I've been a big fan. Some people don't like them. I've been a big fan of Bruce Pearl for a long time. Even from his days at Tennessee. I think Bruce Pearl is one of the best coaches in the country. I think he gets his team prepared, and they can find ways to beat you different styles. You want to run it up? Cool. You want to walk it up? Cool. But this Auburn Tigers team is absolutely fantastic. And they can do things to you that could turn you over defensively, and they can get out into the open court into transition. Auburn, which is tied with Kentucky for second place in a three-way tie. If you look at a team like Auburn, they got dudes. And they got some guys that could absolutely bring it. When you think about Broome, when you think about Williams, when you think about Jones or Holloway, they have guys that could make a run. And I really do think that this team, where I feel like the SEC is the second best league in the country, they're going to be a player in not only the SEC tournament, but the big dance. Let's move on last quickly. Let's do the Pac-12. Folks, I'm not a big believer in Arizona. I know they're minus 150. I get it. Okay. I don't think they make a run. To me, I'm going to look at two teams quickly. Washington State. Folks, people need to talk about Kyle Smith and the job that he's done. He's done a fantastic job with Washington State. And I really think that you may be looking at this guy moving on to a bigger job for what he's done with Washington State, getting him the second place. When you think about their guard, their forward, and Isaac Jones getting you about 15.4 points per game, right? Junkyard Dog, 7 rebounds a game. But the guy I want you to watch out for is Jalen Wells. Jalen Wells, number 0. That's the guy I want you to focus on. 12.2 points per game. But, folks, he has these games where he's gone off, folks. Remember, 27 points against UCLA on Saturday. How about the 27-point game at McHale Center taking on Arizona? I do like this team. And my backup, ready, folks, to win is USC. Hear me out for a second. Think about this, folks. They were a top 20 team preseason. They may have one healthy Isaiah Collier and Boogie Ellis. Could be the best backcourt in the country. You have a kid like Bronny James who's trying to find his way as a value player. Remember, folks, they just beat Arizona over the weekend. This is a team, folks, you got to remember during tournament week, you just got to get hot at the right time. And maybe the USC Trojans are ready to make that run with Andy Enfield, who I think needs to make a little bit of a run here because his team has underachieved. But everything can change in 4 days. That being said, speaking of a team that's on the bubble with a coach that's sometimes in trouble, let me give you my all-time roster for the Villanova Wildcats. A team rich in tradition with two outstanding coaches, Rolly Massimino and obviously the great Jay Wright. Let me give you my bench for the Villanova Wildcats. At the guard spots, Kyle Lowry, Scotty Reynolds, Ryan Arcidiacono, Doug West. Folks, they're so deep, I had to go 6. Josh Hart and Mikal Bridges. Let's start with Kyle Lowry, the wily veteran, now playing with the Philadelphia 76ers back home, all Big East, 2005-2006, and also all freshman team. This guard was such a fantastic player and really does so much to sacrifice his body how he plays. How about Scotty Reynolds, a really underrated player, top 5 all-time in scoring at Villanova, 3-time all Big East, All-American, 4th season at Villanova, and was part of that team getting at about 16 points per game. That was really part of Villanova teams that were constant contenders under Jay Wright. Let's move on to Ryan Arcidiacono. Now, you think about him as a Knick. You think about him as, he's Jalen Brunson's boy and Josh Hart's boy. This kid could ball. Flat-out baller. Champion. Big East player of the year. 4 seasons of Villanova. 7 seasons of NBA. Undrafted. He was playing for the Knicks. Now he's somewhere else. I think he's with Detroit, but he may get bought out. But he bounces back. He always ends back in New York because he's very close to Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson. Let's move on to Doug West. Doug West was a fantastic NBA player, mainly with the Minnesota Timberwolves. 2-time All-Big East, 4 seasons at Villanova. Bouncy, athletic guard. Could dunk it in your face. Had a really good jump shot. It was part of those young Minnesota teams with Marbury and Kevin Garnett towards the end of his tenure there. And then, let's talk about Josh Hart. The pride and the nails and glue, I should say, of the Knicks. All-American, 3 seasons at Villanova, 2nd-round draft pick. Josh Hart done a great job, obviously, with the New York Knicks. And then lastly, Mikal Bridges currently with the Brooklyn Nets, two-time NCAA champion, one-time Big East Tournament MVP, 3 seasons of Villanova, number 10 pick overall in the NBA draft. Ready, folks? Remember, he was drafted by Philadelphia and traded draft night to Phoenix. So there is my bench. Let me quickly give you my starting lineup. Jalen Brunson, Randy Foy, Kerry Kittles, Eddie Pinkney, and Howard Porter. And let's talk about Jalen Brunson, someone that was just so undervalued coming out of Villanova. But look at this, Wooden Award winner, two-time national champion, All-American, 3 seasons at Villanova, and the number 33 pick in the NBA draft to Dallas, the same year they drafted Luka Doncic. Jalen Brunson, fantastic. He is what I think an MVP candidate for the New York Knicks. Next up, let's bring in my buddy, my guy, a.k.a. the pride of Newark, Randy Foy. Randy Foy did a great job, obviously, coming out of New York East Side, being part of those winning teams at Villanova. Randy Foy, that was a 2005-2006 Big East Player of the Year, All-Region 2 times, All-American, 4 seasons at Villanova, number 7 draft pick to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Shout out to Newark East Side and someone I've gotten to know really well and really one of the classiest pros I've ever met, and that's Randy Foy. Next up, Kerry Kittles, fantastic player in the late, mid-90s. All-American 2 times, All-Region, 3-time All-Big East, 4 seasons at Villanova, number 8 draft pick to the New Jersey Nets at the time, played for Steve Lapis. What a player Kerry Kittles was. Dynamic, could shoot the ball real well, but really, really athletic, underrated defender. How about the man in the middle for the 85 National Championship team? That is Eddie Pinkney, 2-time NCAA All-Region, 4 seasons at Villanova, 10 pick in the 85 draft, 3 times all Big East. You talk about the Big East, you talk about Patrick Ewing. This guy was almost Patrick Ewing's kryptonite, and he was as the leader of the Villanova team that pulled off one of the greatest upsets of all time in 1985. And lastly, Howard Porter, played in the late 60s, 69 to 71, All-American, 2-time All-Region, 3 seasons at Villanova, 32nd pick in the draft, scored at about 23 points per game, 15 rebounds per game. I do believe he's all-time leader in rebounds at Villanova. So once again, my bench, Kyle Lowry, Scotty Reynolds, Ryan Arcidiacono, Doug West, Josh Hart, and Mikal Bridges, with a starting lineup of Jalen Brunson, my boy Randy Foy, Kerry Kittles, Eddie Pinkney, and Howard Porter. This has been episode 37 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. For all things sports gambling, just download that SportsGrid app. Pre-game, end-game, post-game, profit predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling business. Download it on the iOS or Google Play Store today. Next podcast, 38, will be on Monday. We'll recap the bracket. We'll start breaking it down. I'll give you some picks and predictions, what I think could go on the first week of the NCAA tournament, excluding the first 4 games. For my producer, Matt George, and Vinny, thank you for tuning in to this Betting Above the Rim podcast. Remember, folks, I tell you every time, it's smarter to be on SportsGrid. Good night.